When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like, when your upbringing is that you're just garbage, that's like what her daughter will be. Her daughter will be garbage just like her.
This episode of ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast, was recorded with Zoom audio.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
ASAP.
This is another Sean Allen podcast. Apple listeners, please hit that subscribe button, write a review with the 5-star rating, the ASAP. And if you're listening on Spotify, please hit that follow button. Special guest, he's my homeboy from around the block, around the way. He is a celebrity, stylist, lifestyle coach.
I'm a dad.
He's a dad. He's a father.
Wardrobe stylist, a lot of cool people. I'm chill, man. Trying to stay corona free.
Oh, you've been in the game, and who has been some of your clients?
Next month is my 10-year anniversary for styling. My client list range from Jamie Foxx, Ray J, Lisa Ray, Blac Chyna, Angela Simmons, OT Genesis. Man, it's so many. Kay Michelle, LaShawn Daniels, may you rest in peace. Megan Good. So many.
Black Hollywood.
Yeah, man. A lot of the reality girls, a big percentage of the reality girls.
Wow. And we're actually going to dive into that a little bit later, but you're from here, right?
Yes, sir. Born and raised.
What part of L.A. are you from?
I was born in Long Beach, but I grew up in Compton in L.A., being that's where my family is based from. So I was born in Long Beach, but I was raised in the city of Compton in L.A., being that's where my mom and dad are from. My dad is from Compton and my mom is from L.A. I'm a little bit of... And I'm LA all day.
It's good to see someone from here who's actually taking advantage of the opportunities that, you know, are bred here. You know what I mean? When it comes to working in the industry and shit. I hate when I see people come from, I don't hate, but it's like, it's kind of like when you see people come from other places and they come out here and they kind of steal our job and shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm like, man, absolutely.
All this money out here for us. Your favorite client?
Favorite clients to work with. Princess Love is one of my favorite, which is Ray J's wife. Brooke Bailey was a favorite. Jones.
Brooke Bailey. Yeah. Brooke Bailey is, she was like a video girl back in the day,
yeah,
right?
She was a vixen, and then she transitioned over into Basketball Wives.
Yeah, I remember.
Orlando Jones, the actor, he's one of my favorites. Chyna is one of my favorites, and probably Tasha Smith.
And you're friends with Chyna because I see you a lot with her.
Yeah, we built a really good relationship outside of work, so I'm grateful for the friendship.
So you're not styling Patti LaBelle or Gladys Knight?
Nah, you know, Auntie Patti, you know, she rolling around with her own shoes and stuff, so Auntie Patti got that.
Did you watch the Verses last night?
I did, man.
What did you think about it?
I was kind of disappointed in Patti. You know, I expected the theatrics. You know, she gave us a little bit, but I think with Gladys giving us a live set, for the most part, was really, like, super dope. And then with that, her having to help Patty in, you know, certain areas, I'm like, damn, Patty, let's get it together. You know, what's up? But overall, I think it was pretty good. I respect both of it. You know, I respect both of it for sure.
It was interesting, too, because, like, we know Patty. We see Patty. Patty is very present, you know what I mean, in this generation and past generations. So we're very familiar with Patti LaBelle and how she cut up. And, you know, we see her. She's pretty, like I said, she's pretty present. So I was expecting Patty to be, you know, a little bit more active and, you know, doing her thing or whatever, the Patty thing, and she didn't. And then, Gladys Knight surprised me. At first, I was surprised at Gladys Knight. I'm like, okay, Gladys Knight is singing live. She's doing all this sitting down. She's performing. Yeah, she's giving us a show. I'm like, this is incredible. These ladies are almost 80 years old, and they, you know, they're still doing their thing. But shout out to Gladys. Then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, Gladys has a residency in Vegas. So Gladys does this every
day. She does this. Yeah, man.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, that's why she got so much energy, and her voice is still, you know, perfect. And
she was for sure in the zone, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I was disappointed in Patty, too, though. I was expecting a little bit more. Her sound was fucked up. Yeah. She didn't even know her own songs. You know what I mean? But it was definitely great to see and experience these legends.
Absolutely.
Kind of get their flowers in that space, in that digital space. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That was pretty. That was pretty dope. 600,000 viewers on Instagram, and people keep saying, like, why don't they have more? Why don't they have more? Well, their audience is not on social media. Oh,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
So 600K, I think 600 is pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely is good. It's good for them. And but the storytelling was pretty dope. Yeah. You know, they're really friends. They've been in the game for, you know, over 60 years together. So it was pretty dope. It was dope besides the sound and Patty not doing too much, not giving us a...
Dionne Warwick was surprising to see. That was, you know, kind of very surprising. So that was like, okay, little twist to it.
That was dope too. Legends, man, legends. We all grew up, you know, listening to them, our parents, our grandparents. And I realized too, I don't know a lot of Gladys Knight songs. I know, you know, the Georgia and the James Bond song and Love of Overboard, but I don't know a lot of her songs. And but Patti LaBelle, I know more of her music than I do.
Yeah,
Gladys. And that's, you know, I'm not looking for Patti LaBelle's music or, you know, Gladys Knight's music. You know, it's just I'm more familiar with Patti LaBelle's music and what it sounds like too. It sounds like Gladys Knight music came earlier than Patti's. Like Gladys Knight kind of, I will assume Gladys Knight's like peak or her hot years were like in the 60s and 70s. And 80s and versus Patty's is like 80s and 90s. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The sound, you know, you hear the sound of the music and it's like, okay, so Gladys is before my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was dope to see the legends up there and it was dope to see them getting their flowers in that space.
It's very deserving. Very so much deserving.
Who has more style? Patty or?
Patty has, I would say, more style. But I love what Gladys wore last night, you know, referencing, you know, last night. I love the sequence that Gladys wore. I actually just did I did the Love and Hip Hop Miami reunion with Claudia Jordan, and she wore a fuchsia suit, which kind of had the same aesthetic of what Gladys wore last night. So I love what Gladys wore, but overall, I think Patty is definitely more of a, you know, staple when it comes to the fashion and, you know, things like that, from hair to makeup to wardrobe. You know, she's stapled that. Yeah, man, that's her thing. You know,
yeah,
and that's like Patty's lane for sure. You see, she had Louboutins and her whole setup. You know, she's definitely a fashion girl for sure.
If she ain't gonna do nothing right, she gonna come out looking right.
Yeah,
current.
If I had a preference, like I said, I would say Gladys because it's more of a glitzy, glammy thing, which is my personal preference and my aesthetic. But overall, they both the pantsuit. Even Dionne's white suit looked decent. So I think the pantsuit was a strong number, strong statement.
Yeah, they definitely look great. And Patty, I don't know too much about Dionne Warwick,
Right.
The Whitney Houston connections and shit, but they all had on their pantsuit. They all
were the pantsuit pals, is what I was calling them, the pantsuit pals.
And they were all, it was dope that they were all here healthy and on their feet and just enjoying this and getting their flowers again in that space. That was pretty, pretty dope and deserving. Do you have a favorite song from any of them?
You Are My Friend is one of my favorite Patti songs.
Okay, I know that one.
So you do or you don't?
No, I do. I could kind of sing it a little bit too.
I mean, you want to bless us with a little 1-2, or you got it? You confident? You know it, right?
I didn't have my tea yet, so I might give it to you at the end of the show.
It's all good. Gladys, Midnight Train to Georgia is one of my favorites. Neither One of Us.
So you're very familiar with her catalog.
Yeah, for the most part. You know, there were a few songs that I weren't, you know, really wasn't too familiar with, but for the most part, yeah. You know, Patti as well. Well, all their music. If I Were Your Woman, I think by Gladys is super dope. The storytelling with that song, I think, is super good. Patti, Somebody Loves You.
Yeah.
That's a good one. On My Own.
Yeah.
Fire. So yeah, you know, I'm an old soul, so I know a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
When people say they don't make them like they used to, these new girls can't sing or perform. Patti was fucking up, Patti was giving us some vocals sitting down.
Yeah.
And Gladys Knight was sitting down. The fact that they doing this, though, giving us what they're giving, sitting down. That is pretty remarkable, and that's like talent.
The artistry, it's really good.
What else was funny too was when she brought up her son Shanga. Remember that shit when he got the? Didn't he like? We being bad. Remember he got in trouble.
it be so much shit, man, with these motherfucking celebrities and their kids. I was like, because I've heard something, but I really couldn't. It was real vague, but I remember hearing something about her son. And when she mentioned it, I'm like, okay, it sounds familiar, but it was like real vague to me.
She didn't go in, obviously. You know, maybe it's just the media, because we know how the media is. But yeah, he kind of did some shady shit. So when she brought him up, when her and Patti brought him up last night, I was like, okay, are they going to talk about him getting the restaurant shut down and the tax evasion? And
Right. I kind of, there was a second when I think Aretha's name was brought up. Or I don't know if it was in conversation with people who I was with, but I was like real on pins and needles, like, are we going to have this Aretha conversation or no? Because part of people, Aretha didn't feature Patti, so I'm like, okay, where are they going to go with this? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but that was here or there.
Any upcoming projects you could tell us about?
Cynthia Bailey's getting married next month. The princess has been invited. I have something special for her that I'm putting together. She's kind of been off the radar since having her son, Epic.
That his name?
Yeah, Epic, EPIK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is kind of a moment outside of it being a wedding. This is like her, you know, she's coming. She ain't lost the sauce, so we're doing something special with that. I'm working on my 10-year reunion. I have some things that should be dropping within the next couple weeks in regards to that. Some editorial stuff, I should say. I can't say too much yet because I don't want to, you know, you speak too soon and you mess it up. But I have some stuff regarding my reunion coming up for next month. And then in regards to Hollywood, it's kind of, work has kind of been slow in a sense because Hollywood doesn't know how to produce projects without it being so many people in an area. Right. And that goes into movies, commercials, you know, reality shows, etc. It's hard to produce a show with 6 people, social distance. You know what I mean? It's so that they're trying to figure that part of Hollywood out. Because literally, yeah, it's almost near impossible to, let's just say, make a movie in the middle of quarantine with, you know, six people or
oh,
eight,
shit.
Whatever.
So you're making a movie?
Well, no, not me specifically. I'm using that as an example.
Okay, well,
productions itself, there's a lot of staff, a lot of people. So with all these guidelines and things that are in place, it's hard to execute the bigger projects due to that reason. You know, CDC guidelines and maximum people and this and that. And, you know, so they're trying to, Hollywood's literally scrambling to figure out what the hell to do, because I highly doubt we'll have new shows this fall. If you notice, you rarely, or you haven't seen any promos for like really like new shows coming out, because there were no pilots shot this year because of COVID.
Wow.
You know,
yeah,
and amongst of other things.
Definitely, so. Definitely I've noticed what they got me working on now. They got me working on Big so I'm doing captioning for that. And the shows that I have been working on, the productions that I've been working on, have been a lot of overseas stuff and small local stuff. So I definitely do see the change, and the industry has been hit hard, you know.
Absolutely.
And I definitely do see the change in how we do things. I mean, we're in the same city and we're on a Zoom, you know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
So yeah, it definitely has changed. I think that Hollywood is, an innovative industry. We work in innovative industries. You're on the styling side. I'm in the production side. Pretty innovative, though. So I think that we are going to come out on top.
Absolutely.
In a little bit more, you know, I don't want to say seasoned, but...
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, we do work in some innovative, creative industries. And, you know, they're figuring it out. You know, they're definitely figuring it out. Speaking of our industry, you have been in the game for for 10 years. You're coming up on your 10-year mark now. Have you stopped? Because everybody you named, all the clients you named, have been African-American or Black. Have you worked with any white clients? I know you have, but how do the people?
One of my clients, she's a WWE wrestler, Mandy Rose. I did a few things for her. And then Mattel and Barbie actually took my look that I designed for her for the event. It was the WrestleMania. They took that look and actually made it into a Barbie doll.
Oh, wow.
So that was exciting. I did a NFL wedding with model Carissa Rosario. She's a Latin model. She's big on like the FHM and Maxim. She's on like that side of, you know, Hollywood. She married a big NFL wedding in Puerto Rico. Who else? Non-Black. I have so many other international models that I've worked with who are in my portfolio through agencies.
Is there a difference in between, you know, non-Black? This is a question, but what's the difference between not? Okay. What about reality stars? How has it been working with reality stars?
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that we know that ushered in a new genre of television and a new genre of celebrity. More, you know, and these celebrities I don't know if I'm calling them celebrities or not, but they don't have the shelf life that, you know, the making
actors
goods will have. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So how has that experience been?
Oh, man. I've been called the king of reality styling only because I've worked with so many of the girls in different projects regarding reality. Let me not say girls, reality, period. My first reality experience was with Shawnee O'Neal. She's a great client of mine as well. So she was doing Basketball Wives, and so she hired me. I want to say, this was some years ago. And from there, you know, I did, you know, Evelyn and went to Jennifer, I've done Tammy, I've done Royce. So for there, I kind of got the dynamics of what the reality world was. So then when I had friends such as Drea at the time and Erica Mena who were entering reality, I had already had a piece of it, being that I worked in it. But they were coming in as new stars, meaning, you know, Drea's first season, The Basketball Wives, yada, yada, yada. Right. So as I've grown, my craft has grown as well. So my niche in styling is not for every girl. Meaning, you know, because I've grown to where I am and the connections and the designers that I bring to the table, some girls are not at the level of where my of what my styling is. You know, so after dealing with that scenario with the Shawnees and Evelyns transitioning over to Love and Hip Hop girls, I realized that the notoriety is different. It's a different type of notoriety, not to discredit those other Love and Hip Hop girls.
It's a different tier. It's a exactly. It's a lower tier.
Exactly.
Without being disrespectful. I completely get it. Yeah.
So with that, I'm very picky on what girls I work with because I've worked with some of the greats. You know, Evelyn is like a fashion girl all day. Everyone knows that. Jennifer is a freaking Barbie doll. Like, so I've worked with some of the girls who set the tone for reality TV.
Well, yeah, fashion. And I can't believe I'm kind of saying this too. Like, Shawnee O'Neal, Evelyn, all the Basketball Wives girls, they kind of come from a lifestyle.
Exactly.
You know, they don't come from the projects and hop on Love and Hip Hop. And you see what I'm saying? So they right. come
I mean,
from
they do, that but echelon they already.
You know what I mean? That social circle versus the girls, I would assume the people from Love and Hip Hop are coming up and coming.
Right, right. Which is true. And so in that, you know, what began to happen, the girls began to know what my work aesthetic was and they would want that. But see, it's a difference when you have a client who's able to have a stylist hair and makeup and pay her people without it being an issue versus an up and coming artist who's trying to get to a level of growth in their career, you know, and trying to have those things. And then saying that, you know, I don't have a problem going to shop for Shawnee or Evelyn, you know, and invoicing them for their clothes and then invoicing them my fee because they're accustomed to that type of lifestyle being that is if that's what they want.
Right.
So a lot of girls knew where I came from or who I worked with wanting that same treatment, but not able to accommodate, you know, what's being brought to the table. You know, I'm super cool and I'm super chill and I do favors and things like that, but I also have bills and a child who needs to be fed and, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, you know, it becomes tricky because a lot of the talent, you know, the lines are crossed when you become friends and associates and, you know, they feel they bought you a dinner or something. You know, that's not considered a payment. You know, you tweeting me or posting me on your IG doesn't pay, you know, California Edison for the gas.
Wait a minute. So it sounds like you, wait, who are you talking about?
Well, prime example, I'll use, let's just say Masika. Why not? Let's just jump into it, buddy. You know.
Oh yeah, Masika. I remember that. Like, oh yeah, you did some work for her and she didn't. I remember that.
She didn't pay me. I was referred to her actually a mutual colleague of mine / friend. Is her makeup artist. Well, was her makeup artist at the time. And me and her said makeup artists have worked on many big projects together. So she's aware of my work aesthetic.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So bringing me on to this specific, you know, job with Masika, I did that one from the kindness of my heart because, you know, my friend referred me and, you know, she wants to, you know, we're like a team, we're working teams. You know, two, Masika is not an ugly girl. You know, is she someone that I'll put on my resume? No. But to say, oh, she's not the pretty, you know, beautiful looking woman, that would be incorrect. So in doing that, I lowered my standards because I'm very, the only love and hip hop work I do now in my career, and that's not to discredit because I love my humble beginnings, is my best friend, Princess. She gets the ultimate treatment because one, she's my friend, and two, she doesn't mind paying her friend. I don't have any issues. You know what I mean?
When they got real, her and Rager got real jobs. You know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah. And I don't have to pull teeth when it comes to them. Right. You know? So when it comes to that specific franchise, she's the only one that I choose to work with because of my personal preference and my resume of what I want.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I was watching something. I don't know what I was watching. I was watching something the other day, and the credits said executive produced by Princess Love and Ray J. And absolutely. I was like, they're not even in the show. So they got their hands in television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like absolutely. So and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from Ray. You know, they've taught me a lot. Ray has taught me a lot regarding the industry and the business and things like that. So I take them very close to heart. Anyway. I chose to only work with Princess because she fit my purse, my brand, my styling brand. I've already did the booty models, the titties and the ass, and I did that. Like, that's my beginnings. I appreciate it. I love it. I'll always, you know, give it credit, but I've grown past that. So I don't need the booty girls and the titty girls and the vixen girls anymore. Right. So in working with Masika, I was lowering myself because one, I did not need her in my catalog, and two, I ended up having to bite the bullet and come out of the pocket of my money. You know, She got
She still hasn't paid you?
She still hasn't paid me. I've sent multiple emails, and I'm watching this girl give people investment advice and how to handle their money, and I'm just sitting here watching, like, what? Yeah,
because
you're not even. And then I look up yesterday, and then the fucking bitch ain't been paying her rent. Yeah, so I was like, okay, you're not paying your rent. You can't pay your invoices. I got it. Got it. I'm gonna let that slide because clearly you ain't got it. You know, and I'm not the one to run to media. You know, I don't need to run to the media with the story. So people always ask me, well, why haven't you told the shade room? And why haven't you? Because I don't have to do that. I don't have to operate like that. Right, you know, right. There's no factual limitations on wanting to get my money. So if I want to wait 9 more months to contact you again, that's my money. And I can get my fucking money 9 months later if I want it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Because she does. I mean, I saw that today or yesterday. She does own RO. David, she was renting the house.
David Weintraub, who I know through the industry very well. You know, I've worked many, many jobs with David, who's a very reputable person in the industry, who can definitely attest to my work aesthetic. I saw that. I'm like, damn, you know, and I know David. I never once called David, even since hearing the news. I haven't called David. Oh, David, the bitch owed me too, and da 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 da. Nah. The universe is going to play. It's going to play out itself.
Yeah, so, he says she owes him $75,000. She hasn't been paying rent.
I believe it. But I even talked to him, and I believe it.
She's rich on Instagram, and
she's not even rich on IG. So I mean, I get what he's saying, but she's not rich on IG. If I had an address, I could serve her. The address I did have was no good. But if I had an address, which clearly I won't be getting because she don't have one, then you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you know, because I was going to pay the police to do the shit, but I don't have an address on her. And then to hear this shit yesterday, I just still closed the deal like, fuck it. Eat the 1600 up because she ain't got it. I can't find the bitch because she ain't got no address. Whatever. Just fuck it.
And yeah, it's not the dollar amount. It's the principle.
It's the point.
Yeah, and exactly. This town is small. We all work together, so.
And I only had to, not to cut you off, I'm sorry. Now you got my goddamn boy, my butt boiling. I only had to do that. I'm out of pocket because the designer that she wore for this said event only dressed the likes of Beyonce, Gaga, J-Lo, Britney Spears. So this is one of my personal resources. And I couldn't not take care of them due to the negligence of some said IG model or whatever she is. I don't really know what she categorized herself as, but I couldn't lose that connection. Actress. Yeah, I couldn't lose that connection due to her dropping the ball, not handling her business. So I had to eat that. And that's how I had to handle my business because I have a name. I have a brand. I don't have no smut on my name. But when I dealt with smut, this is the thanks I get. So like, it pisses me off because as I talk about it, it puts me back into the place where she, you know, it's just, she's not that girl. And it's very unfortunate. And I don't want to, she's just not that girl. And she makes it bad for other people in her lane that want to hire me for my service.
Right, right.
You know, so.
It's kind of fucked up because, you know, like I said, this town is small. This industry is small. And David aired her out.
Masika Kalisha Tucker, that happened to be on one of our shows, Love and Hip Hop, who attempted to buy a house from me but committed fraud. And then I was nice enough to let this disgusting person in my house with a lease, decided to use the COVID-19 moratorium to commit fraud to the tune of $75,000, okay, that she owes me in back rent, and held my house hostage from me, where I couldn't go to the house, I couldn't look at the house, I couldn't sell the house while she squatted in my house, while this woman was posting pictures of how much money she has and shopping sprees and all this shit, and she ain't paying her rent. So she finally fled the house.
Oh, good.
In the middle of the night, fled the house, stole my washer and dryer, stole TVs off the wall, stole cameras, and is now, I like to say with a person like this, she now has returned to the streets as she's facing insane litigation.
And he said she owes him to the tune of $75,000 of rent. And David Weintraub kind of owns reality TV. He's like the Mona Scott Young.
Yeah.
VH1.
Yeah.
WeTV. Bravo.
He's very connected. Very connected.
So, and he's been in the game forever. And I'm like, why? You're not going to work. You know what I mean?
And nobody's going to make it his business to make sure that. Like, yeah, he's fucking, like, David is no fucking joke. Like, David is good people. And David, if he extends an opportunity to you, don't fuck it over, because David is good people. He's really good.
He works
good
closely with Ray J. And
he does. He does.
Yeah. What are you going to do, though? Because he said that, you know, he's going to sue her, take her to court or whatever. He's going to dry her out with the litigation.
Pay her, man.
Because he has the money to keep her in court and have her paying for attorneys. She don't, obviously. So that, I mean, that's going to hit her harder than the $75,000.
It's sad, man, because I know she's a single mother. And you know, I just think about all the levels to the shit. You know, outside of being upset, I do have a heart and compassion. It's like, you have a fucking child. You know what I'm saying? I would hate to be in that position with a child. You know, I'm a man. I can handle the shit by myself. But at this point in my life, anything that affects me affects my daughter. So I just, you know, hope that she can get her shit right, because she has a daughter to live for.
I didn't like the tone, though. And shout out to David, because I need a job, too. I need to work.
Oh, listen.
So people are saying that the tone of him going off on Masiko on the podcast was very negative, and it's a white man talking about a black woman.
Back to the projects you go, honey. Back to the studio projects you go, you dirt bitch.
And I was like, okay, I understand. I understand people's distaste for, you know, how he's going off about Masika. But then I thought about it too. I'm like, David have launched a lot of careers and gave a lot of black people opportunities and put black people in positions
before
the Shonda Rhimes word thing, or the, you know, the, even before Mona Scott Young became, you know, a household name in production, David Weintraub have, you know, launched a lot of careers for black people in television. So I'm like, it's coming from a place of hurt and anger. It has nothing to do with race, but it did have a tone to it. If you didn't know what he has done for our community in the space, you know, you'd be like, okay, this white man is doing a little too much. But Masika, like, you gotta pay your bills.
Man, and get off the fucking ground. You just got fucking, you was doing this bullshit, domestic violence week. Shit. Yeah, man. Like, what the fuck is you doing, bro? You know, luckily, they was able to.
She got fired. She got fired from that UMC show.
I guess so. Luckily, you know, Ray gave her a job. I'm quite sure they cut her a decent check with this little shit she just filmed with Hazel E. But, you know, hopefully that'll get her on her feet. You know, like, shit. Hey, do your shit. Handle your business. If you're going to talk the talk, You gotta add up. You're on the ground flexing your Rolex at this, and your agent, your real estate this and at that, and you're on Twitter talking about stocks and bonds and put your money
Wait, go back to that. She has like a pyramid scheme. What is this?
Some shit, man. I don't know. I mean, I try to follow the bitch just so I can try to find her ass or some type of shit like that. But I don't know. I don't really know what the fuck she really doing, to be honest. She ain't paying her motherfucking bills, that's for sure. You know what I'm saying? She talk a lot of shit. You know, and as I sit here and I think about it, it makes me upset. And I'm trying to really keep my shit cool, because my daughter is in the back house doing her homework and her school shit. So I don't want to fuck up school class with this.
Yeah, you gotta preserve that positive energy for your daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
in the future, how would you move different when it comes to these, I don't want to call
scenarios.
Celebrities? Yeah, scenarios.
We'll just say scenarios. Okay. Moving forward, you know, to know me is to know that I'm a very nice guy, and I'm very generous, and very giving, you know, very lenient. I'm a cool cat. But that's, that in return, that's what bites me in the ass. You know, I should have made her pay me all the money up front before even rendering my services and bringing my resources. But because I knew the makeup, you know, my makeup colleague, who's her colleague slash possible friend, I did it out of the kindness of my heart. But see, that's out, you know. I just have to be more tight on that, especially dealing with that type of talent. When I deal with, you know, I did the all the green screens for Love & Hip Hop Hollywood last year. I don't have a problem doing it when the network is going to cut my check, because the network ain't going to, you know, my money's going to be paid. You know what I'm saying? Princess going to pay me. So I don't have those issues up front with, you know, other types of talent and jobs. So just, right. It's just being cautious of lowering myself and my standards to still be a cool guy, or still be the homie, or still be cool L. You know, I'm a, you know, it's no, and I'm still who I am. You know, I can't do it, like it or love it. I just can't do it, and that's just that, you know?
So no more charity work.
Nah, man, I didn't give him back a lot, too much. But you know what? It comes with the territory. It comes with it, yeah. You know? So
I tried to get a job with, I don't want to say get a job, but I tried to do some work for Tina Knowles and Richard Lawson. Their studios right across the street from my studio. And, I live all in the same area. So, like, when I'm walking to the studio, I see Tina and Richard. And I was about to do some work with them. And when it came time to, you know, of course, I wasn't talking to them up front. I was talking to Richard's assistant, Nina. And when it came time for payment, she was like, well, how much do you want to be compensated? I was like, I'll kind of, depending on what it is, I kind of do it for free for them. Right. You know what I mean? Because I know what, if I work for them and with them, I know the opportunity that's going to
come with it. Exactly.
You know what I mean? But like, you know, these reality stars and these people up and coming and on Instagram, you know what I mean? Chasing rappers and shit. And I can't give free services to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's a lot. You know, I've had moments I've cried. I've spent my bill money. I've done all kind of shit, man. I've had fucked up merchandise. I had to eat. You know, I've had a lot. I've been through a lot. Not everything, but I've been through quite a bit dealing with, you know, all the different levels of talent, I'll just say.
Right.
And in saying that, it's why I am what I am today. And why people know when they book me, you're going to get a service. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You know, for me, it's not about just buying an outfit. It's the overall aesthetic. You know, every client that I have had has either made some type of best dressed list or something to where it's, you know, it's really good work, because I take pride in what I do. Like, I wake up thinking about clothes and shit, you know what I mean? So, right. Of course, I want to get paid, but my craft and the love for it is bigger than all that. So that's why those scenarios come up where I'm just doing it because I just, you know, it's in me, you know? So,
right.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
Who do you need to take to court ASAP?
Shit, that bitch Masika and K Michelle. Oh, low key.
Wait. K Michelle didn't pay you either?
K Michelle fucked up some shit and ain't paid. She fucked up some shit. I ain't got my green screen dress back from her from this past Love & Hip Hop season. Yeah, man. K Michelle threw my fucking bass at me on her last video shoot. All kinds of shit, bro.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. It's been a lot. It's been a lot, man.
Wow.
It's been a lot.
Wow. They'll have to start paying you. You have to make them pay you up front because.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or give a deposit or some shit because.
Yeah, man.
That ain't about to work. 2021. Yeah. And your daughter getting old too. She asking for shit.
Cheap. She don't like cheap shit. Right.
Yeah. So. We got to keep, and we live in LA, we got to keep that up. We got to get our money up front, get a deposit and our money up front, because that's crazy. It's crazy that these people, these two characters, K. Michelle and Masika, pride themselves off of being rich and having money and kind of, you know, that's kind of like, but it's funny though, because both of their careers are kind of like.
Plateau? I'm going to give them plateau. I don't want to say crashing. I'm going to just say plateau. Just out of kind of summer heart. They moving, but they ain't moving up.
Right. You know. The best thing K. Michelle got is that Jack Daniels deal, and we don't even know the numbers on that. So
yeah, I ain't saw it in the store yet. I mean, I think it's a Atlanta thing or a Memphis thing. Like, oh God, I mean, no shade.
Oh wow, yeah.
I ain't saw that shit in nowhere, but on her Instagram in Atlanta somewhere. But you know, it's her check. That's her money. I guess I don't give a fuck.
But who is your dream client?
Charlize Theron.
Oh wow!
I really would like to get my hands on Nikki. Like a sidebar, you know, my boy Benji Carlisle does her. Shout out to Benji. But I really would like to get my hands on Onika. I need to. Yeah, she needs. It shouldn't be. Well, let me see how I want to say this. She needs more. She has a lot. Her looks hit, but it needs to be tweaked just a little bit.
And she go pay. She go compensate you well. I've never heard any stories about Nikki not paying.
Yeah, me neither. yeah, I would love to get my hands on Nikki, but outside of her, I would say Charlize. Who else is one of mine? Probably. Oh, Mariah. Because Mariah's a glamour girl.
You shooting for the stars here.
Yeah, I like, that's my personal favorite aesthetic, you know.
Yeah,
glam, yeah. Glitz, and trains, and diamonds, and pearls, and that's my thing. So probably Charlize and Mariah. I can do some things with Mariah, for sure.
That's dope. Well, that's going to happen. You know what I mean? What's one degree of separation in the city? As soon as the pandemic let up, you're about to be running full steam ahead.
I receive that, man. I receive that.
Yeah, definitely. So make sure that you get those jobs with Charlize. If you're listening, Mariah, you listening, Nikki, you listening, hire this nigga so he can give me
some. Hell yeah. Right. Man, it's my thing. And once I get my hand on that one girl, it's a wrap. Because I'm really good at what I do. Let me just toot my own horn. I'm hella, I can slay some shit. I just need that one girl. That one. Once I get kinda, that one,
I'm really shook with Princess and Ray J in their hand in television and production.
Yeah, man.
I think that after they Princess get finished being a mother with these young kids and she put her sexy back on.
Oh, it's a wrap.
Yeah. And the legacy that they're building and all the companies that they have and shit like that. I think you got the prize, you know what I mean, on your team. So
right.
Shout out to that, and shout out to securing that relationship with Ray J and Princess and the Norwoods.
Ray J,
because
he's booked some of my biggest jobs actually have come from Ray J. So shout out to Ray, Ray didn't put me, he didn't got me right a few times. So I appreciate that.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. You got to take Masika and K. Michelle to court as soon as possible. That's the first thing you're doing.
I got more.
You got a list.
Yeah. Well, nah, it's just them two. Because I don't really have, like I said, I ain't got no bullshit on my name.
Right.
Other than them two, you know, you ain't going to hear about Larry stealing or no boosting or not coming or whatever, all that wild shit. You know, the only thing you may hear about me is I smoke. Shit. I smoke weed, shit. But other than that, and I'm very professional, and I get the job done. And I probably ain't gonna find Masika, but I'm gonna find K. Michelle because I know she in Miami. Yeah, I can get an address on her, but Masika, that's up in the air right now.
Masika, go. She's back in the projects, like David said.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's like that tone though, David. I'm like, man, people don't know you.
Hey, fuck that. Listen, they don't know if he was fucking green on the other side of that phone. He said what the fuck he said and shit. That's it. people so sensitive, and I get it. But then if he said nigga or some shit, then we have a problem with shit. See, that's how you feel. If it was a black man, would it make it better? No, it's the same shit.
Well, yeah, if it was a black man, it wouldn't have made it better. It would have been the same shit. They would have been mad at that too, though.
Damn if you do, damn if you don't. Pay the fucking money and let's keep it moving.
Shout out to David, though. Shout out to David. David his money. Where can people find you?
Instagram, Hollywood Larry. Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, _. Twitter, Hollywood Larry. Facebook, Hollywood Larry. Google, Hollywood Larry.
That's a good one. Google. And again, thank you for tapping in. Apple people, hit the subscribe button if you haven't. Spotify, hit that follow button. And while you're at it, follow me, Sean Allen Live, on every platform. See you guys on the next one.